I want you to think about something. I want you to think about what is it that scares you. Now, I know there's a lot of people who have different phobias about snakes and spiders. There might still be some adults who are scared of the dark, scared of heights, but that's not the type of fear I want to talk about this morning. The type of fear I want to talk about is offered in a challenge, kind of like what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the challenge of the new year and what it could bring forth, and we talked about not living a year for ourselves, but living it for God. And the thought of doing that really, honestly, and truly scares a lot of us, myself included. There's a lot that goes into it. And so you ask yourself, what is there to be afraid of? There's the fear of the unknown, not exactly knowing what God has planned for you in your life and what that could bring. There's also the fear of rejection. I know a lot of us, we're scared to talk to our friends and our family members because we don't know how they'll respond. So there's that fear of rejection. There's a fear of failure, thinking that you're not good enough, you won't do a good job. And also the fear of just quite honestly being uncomfortable. I fight that fear every Sunday I get up to preach. So I understand that feeling. But, you know, as believers, our job is to continue to grow spiritually on our journey and to find and to seek what God has for us in our life. And many times we fall short of that. You know, there's a blessing on the other side, and we get comfortable where we're at. We think we're doing a good enough job, and so we like to stay where we're at. You know, if last year was a pretty good year, we kind of ride on that. We just, you know, that was a good year. I'm going to keep trucking along and just stay exactly like I was. But the truth is, God has something even better for us each and every day and each and every year. So the challenge is to go forth. You know, we're going to read here in a little bit about the children of Israel and their promise of the promised land, and the fear that they had these 40 years whenever Caleb and Joshua and the 12 spies went out and they saw all the obstacles. They saw the great big giant people, and even though God had promised them that they were still afraid. They were scared to take that step. So for us, I have a question for us I'd like you to think about as we go through this lesson today is, how do we move from where we are to where God wants us to be? So I want you to think about that. How do we move from where we are to where God wants us to be? So if you'd open up your Bible this morning to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, we'll read. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot will tread. And just as I promised Moses, your territory will be from the wilderness, from Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west of the Mediterranean Sea. So we see here, right here, that God has offered a challenge. And just like I said a little while ago, it's the challenge of the unknown. See, they know that there's a land out there, and they know there's a lot of people and all these different things, but they're really not quite sure. See, these people who were about to enter into the wilderness were not the same people who disobeyed 40 years ago. The people who left Egypt had disobeyed God, and whenever Moses offered the challenge through God, and he said, look, we're going to take this land, possess it, they got scared, and they disobeyed God. And so through the next 40 years, they wandered around this wilderness, and so the people that Joshua's talking to today and the ones God's talking to today are not the same people. Their parents and everyone else have gone on, and this is a new generation that's risen up, so there's a lot of uncertainties. They hadn't seen the miracles that happened in Israel, for Israel in Egypt, so there's a lot that they're not sure of. And so same for us is true. You know, as we look for this year, we don't know what we're up against. We don't know the unknowns. We don't know all the promises and what we'll have to get to. But we need to receive that challenge because it's where God wants to give us blessing through. And some of us might say, you know, we have the challenge of bad timing. Again, Moses has just died. They're mourning. This is their leader, the man they looked up to, the one who gave them the Ten Commandments, who held a staff and did all these miracles. God's anointed. And they just lost him. Again, they lost their family members, their grandpas, their grandmas, their aunts, uncles. You know, the children of Israel have gone through a lot of tough times. So timing is not great. And so a lot of times we look at our lives and we say, you know, it's just really not a good time for me. You know, we're busy. We have school. We have activities. We've got all these different things. We might have lost a loved one or someone's going through something difficult right now. It's like, timing's just not right, guys. So we kind of push that off. But that's not what God had offered the challenge for. Another thing, too, is we see obstacles right in front of us. You know, this time of year in chapter 3, it says that now the Jordan was overflowing its banks throughout the harvest season. So God, you know, he has 40 years to say, we're going to give you this challenge. But he waits for the time where the Jordan riverbanks are overflowing. You look and the current's flowing. It's just a dangerous situation. And so a lot of times when we do the same exact thing, instead of looking at what God has
challenge us to do when we look at the promises and the blessings, we see the obstacles in front of us. But we fail to remember that God promises a way through that. Just as he was going to part that river like he did the Red Sea to let the people walk through on dry land, he offers the same promises today. We have obstacles in our lives, and it's good to recognize them, but we need to give those over to God and let those challenges not be a challenge. Let it be what God has for us. And there's also the challenge knowing that it wouldn't be easy. See, the land that the children of Israel were going to was possessed by people. I mean, this is the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the Ites, all these people. They're going through there, and this is their home. So what does that mean? They're not just going to hand it over. There's going to be war. There's going to be battle. And so God had given them this challenge, saying, hey, you're going to go over there, and you're going to have to take this land, but I'm going to give it to you. And God gives us the same promise today. You know, we're going to fight battles. When we surrender to God's will, and we say, okay, I'm willing to live a life that's going to accept the challenge, and I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do, it doesn't mean it's going to be always extremely peaceful. You know, there's times of peace, and we thank God for those, but there will be battles in our lives. So why would God do that? Why would he say, here, do this, I want you to have this, but why would he put that challenge? Well, the thing is, we have to not only receive the challenge, we have to recognize that God is committed to us. And God's commitment, he said that he would give us something. So we find out in verse 5 what he says. He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land that I swore to your fathers to give them as an inheritance. See, through God's commitment, he offers his powerful presence. See, God's not just saying, go out and fight all these battles in your strength. He's given the power. You know, he said, I will fight these battles for you. I will be with you, and I won't leave you nor forsake you. So we don't have to think that, how am I going to do this? We just got to be faithful, take the step of obedience, and trust in God's power. And not only is it his powerful presence, but it's his personal presence. See, he challenged Joshua, just like he had Moses, and everybody had put a lot of their faith in Moses. And so, you know, Moses was unfaithful in that one aspect, so he didn't get to go into the promised land. So now he gives him Joshua. But he doesn't just give him Joshua to say, here's your leader, here's this guy, I want you to follow this guy. He doesn't say, here's this pack of angels that I'm going to lead and I'm going to wipe away everything. No, God promised himself. So in his personal presence, he's given himself to be in a present in our lives to be able to help us with these challenges. And not only is it his personal presence, but it's his permanent presence. You know, a lot of times we look around and we wonder where God is in different circumstances, and we think, you know, I've done this, and he just won't be with me anymore. Like, we've done all these things. The children of Israel, time and time again, have been unfaithful, and they didn't trust God, and they turned their back on God, but he stayed with them. He always promised that he would be with them. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, when we come into our Christian life, when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, he comes and he sends his Holy Spirit, and he abides with us. So his powerful presence is permanent, and he stays with us. You know, the devil comes each and every day and says, you know, you can't do anything effective this year. I know what you did last year. And he calls up your past, and he tells you, God's not with you no more. There's no way God would want to stay with you through all the things that you've done. Just there's no way. But it's not the truth. God has permanently put his Holy Spirit. Once we've accepted it, it's not of our works. It's his goodness, his powerfulness, and his love for us that he's given us this blessing and this promise that we would be able to receive him as our Lord and our Savior. You know, we look through life and we see challenges and challenges. We see highs and lows and different things, but we have to remember that God is always with us. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down into the green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, God not only promises as we're going through this and this life of blessings and troubles and blessings and troubles, but he also promises that one day we'll be able to be with him forever and forever. And that's the goal. So as we go through life and we realize we receive the challenge, we realize that God has something very special for us lying on the other side. If we're just faithful to cross that River Jordan, if we're faithful to say, you know, 2018 is going to be different. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something radically different than what I've done the rest of my life. I'm going to finally put my faith and my trust in what he's going to do, and then we can see great and mighty things happen. And so we have to, in order to do that, we have to respect God's commands. You know, a lot of people in this life, we go through life and we seek answers in all the wrong ways, but God gives us the answers. It says in verse 7, above all, be strong and courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite from it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything that is written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we see right here this book of instruction, the law, what Moses had given, and today we have even more. We don't just have the first five books. We have the entire Bible where God just offers time after time his promise, his goodness and his mercies and what he would do for us. But still, we get to where we look for in our own strength. We look for answers in all the wrong places. You know, there's some people who just, they focus on just what the preacher has to say and only what he has to say. There's a lot of people who worship these big televangelists, and, oh, if he didn't say it, it's not it. But if they're not preaching God's word, and some of them aren't, then we don't need to listen to them. Some of us have a really good friend that we run to every time. And let me just tell you, it is very important as we as Christians to have friends. We need those. We need those accountability. But if you have a friend who is not giving you the instruction from God's word, then that's not a friend. And I fear that today in our culture, you know, everybody's looking to Facebook to see what kind of preacher had posted this article that perverts God's word. See, this Bible right here is complete. There's nothing to add to it, and there's nothing to take away from it. This Bible right here is everything that you need. If there's a trouble in your life and you pray, God's got a verse for it. He, time and time again, if you open this word and you pray that God would show you and instruct you, it'll illuminate into your life and into your heart. But you have to trust this. It's complete and it's holy. So not only is it if your friends, but, you know, a lot of people look to the world. They look at the world and society and how are they doing it over there. They look happy. You know, they look out and see all this money people are making and they got a pretty good life. And they look at the news and what do they say? What is the right thing in people's eyes? And they talk about, you know, different types of compassion and different stuff. And so they preach a good message, but a lot of it goes against what God's word says. You know, don't look at Facebook all the time and think these people have it figured out. It's filtered. You know, there's tons of filters on there, and they don't show you the mess that people are in right now. See, the children of Israel, they, even though they were in a mess, God had still offered them a promise. Even though sometimes we look at our life and things just not going the way we want it to go, but we're comfortable with that because there's no fear of doing anything new. They're comfortable with that. You know, wandering around in the wilderness is not a fun thing to do, I can imagine. There's no home. There's no permanent. I mean, you're just wandering and wandering, yet still there's that sense of, hey, this is what I know. I know how to wander. I know what I'm doing here, and so I'm scared of what the next step is. So as a church, we need to realize that we don't just need to wander around comfortable where we are. There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things, but we could always take that next step. We always can continue to grow because that's what God has for us. God, time and time throughout the Bible, he challenges his people. He challenges the leaders. He challenges his followers. He challenges us today. You know, we have the challenge of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. See, there is a great challenge. It's not just one verse. This everything that we do today as a church is based on that Great Commission to go out and to disciple people, to go out and to be a light into the world and to show them something that's different than what the world has to offer. You know, if we look exactly like the world and do everything that they're doing, why would somebody come to church with us? Why would they want to surrender their life and their desires to the life that God would have them to desire? There'd be no point in that. We have to show them a different alternative. We have to accept that challenge. And when we accept that challenge and we allow God to live in our life and to reign, he changes us. You know, it should be true that I'm not the man today, the same man today that when I was baptized, you know, when I was a little kid. And I've grown. I'm not the same man I was 2 years ago. And so we should all look for that new growth. And again, I preached a message one time, talked about pruning. And it's difficult sometimes to prune, but that's the only way we'll get that new sprouts and new growth. And we got to accept that challenge. And the thing about God's word, it's so consistent. From the time that Joshua walked on the face of the earth to time today, God hasn't changed one bit. His word is still true. He's the same God who gave them victory whenever they went out and fought the Hittites and Amalekites and all these other guys. He was the same guy who fought their battles and gave them victory. And God wants to fight our battles for us today. We don't have to trust in our own strength, because if we trust in our own strength, we would fail. There's no way that we could go out each day and say, I'm going to live this sanctified life where I'm going to give up on myself, because there'd be no point to do that if there wasn't a goal and a target. And God has given us that goal, and he's given us the tools. I'm telling you, this word right here is enough. And so when we come to church, it's not just to hear the preaching. It's not just to hear a couple of verses and memorize it, but it's to let us, it's to cut through what our life looks like. It's to totally chop it up and change it. It should be something very, very different from what we came in today. Hopefully today when we leave, that we've felt this challenge. We should do that every Sunday. Every Sunday we should come, and every day of our lives we should open up his word and accept that challenge daily. It should say, what do I want for my life? Get rid of that. Now, what does God want for my life? And we grab onto that. It's not always easy. Again, God's going to fight that battle for us. But when we understand the purpose, and we understand the challenge, and then we understand God's commitment to us, and we understand how he's going to bring it about, we see the plan right here. Just as Joshua promised he would do that, and the first step of faith was they grabbed that ark and they crossed the River Jordan. It was that first step of obedience, and then after that, God had given them the land. So that's true of us today. We have to take that first step of obedience and just take the step and the leap of faith. And so I asked a question at the beginning of the sermon. It says, how do we move from here to there? You know, I talked about receiving the challenge, and I talked about God's commitment to us. I talked about how God would give us the instruction. But how do we physically do that? How do we do that in a way where we understand that? And so God had brought back a memory in my life. Whenever, I guess it was about 3 years ago, we took a trip. We were with the youth, and we went to New Orleans, and we were going through the zoo, and my wife and kids, they come met us over there. So we're having a good time. We're at the zoo, and then it came to this big course. It was a four-story, high wire type where you wear a harness and everything. And I said at the beginning, scared of heights. I'm not really good with heights and stuff like that, but my kids, they wanted to do it. So we signed up for it, and I think it was Gracie, Dane, and Lucas. And Lucas at the time, I think he was around 6 years old, so we sign up and we get on there, and they tell us what to do. So the first level is fairly easy. You got a harness and you're hanging from it, and there's these drawbridges and stuff that you can walk on. It's a little unstable, but it's not too bad. It's probably about 20 foot up in the air. And so we're going through there having a good time, and then they decide they want to go to the next level. So, okay, so we go up to the next level, and I think Dane stayed around the second level. I don't think he went much higher than that. But Lucas, 6 years old, was very brave. I was pretty impressed. I mean, he's just flying through all this stuff, real nimble and everything, getting around. But I was with him the whole time, you know, staying with him. And so I think we went up to the third level. I think Gracie came to the third level. And that got pretty shaky. There's still boards and different stuff, but it's each one is a little bit harder. Each level higher, it's a little taller, and it's a little harder. And so I figured that was good enough. That was good enough for me. But Lucas, he was ambitious that day, and he decided he wanted to go up to that fourth level. So we got to the fourth level, and got to this couple points. It was pretty shaky. It got to the point where the other ones I could walk with him, but on this one I had to go ahead of him on all the stuff, and then he would follow behind me. And so we got to the very last one, and it was by far the hardest. It was a single wire where you had to walk out on it, and then there was a step where you had to, and it was, for me, 6 foot tall, it was very hard to reach out and grab it. It made me pretty nervous. So then I was like, man, how are we going? But we got to the point where when you walk out, it's really, you're committed to it. You got to go further. So Lucas, he got out there and he got about halfway, and then, I mean, started, you know, going, you can imagine being on a wire, started shaking really bad. And for the first time of the day, he got really, really nervous. And so he was, Dad, I'm scared. So, you know, as a dad, that breaks your heart. You know, I'm like trying to encourage him. Come on, Lucas, you can do this. And he's like, I want to go back. And so I told him, I said, Lucas, you've already started down this path. You've already on the wire. You can't turn around. There's no other way. It's difficult each way. You're already committed to it. And so he said, what do I do? So I'm trying to calm him down. So I looked at him and said, son, trust me. Nothing will happen to you. I promise. I won't let anything happen to you, but I can't do it for you. It got to the point where if I would have knocked him off, if I would have gone on there, I told him, I said, you're going to have to take a step of faith and reach out and do that. And that is a scary thing for a six-year-old to let everything go, everything that he knows is safety. He's holding on to it with all his power, all his might, scared to death to trust his dad that says everything's going to be okay and just let go and grab on to the next step. But he did it. And so finally he mustered enough courage and he lets go and he grabs it just barely. I'm talking just barely, but he grabs it and he completes and he gets there and I wrapped him with my arms. And I'm just pretty emotional, I'm not going to lie. And I was holding him just like, told you, buddy, everything's going to be okay. And the same thing is true with God. You know, we're on this obstacle course in life, and you know God's word is so true, but sometimes we get out there and we look at the elements. We look how high we are. It's scary. We're on this wire, and it seems like our only thing to do is just to hold on. We don't want to take that next step because it's scary. But we move from here to there by letting go, by trusting in God's word. Just as Lucas trusted the words, I encouraged him and said, just let go, and I promise everything's going to be okay. God tells us the same exact thing for our lives. It will be scary, you know, if we decide to take the challenge to say we're going to do what God wants me to do in 2018, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough. We're going to have to go and to do face challenges we've never seen before, never thought of. But the thing is true, God will always be there with us. He's committed to us. And he hasn't just sent his angels or this guy to be with us. He's personally right there. He lives in our life. He's there with us because he loves us and he's genuinely concerned with us. So as we enter this year again, the first week of the year, some of us are going to fail. There's going to be battles. There's times in the children of Israel where they went out and they put their faith in themselves and they didn't trust God and they lost certain battles and they didn't know why. It's because they took their eyes off of God. So I challenge us this year, let's keep our eyes on God, keep our eyes fixed on God, and receive the challenge and let him do all the work for us.